beginning in Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortations, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 4, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And Paul writes, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. If you will keep your bulletin in front of you, and I would like for you to mark a couple of things if you have a pen in your bulletin. As this passage began, having gifts that differ. If you would underline gifts that differ. And then, according to the grace given to us, I want you to connect grace and gifts. And then put a big circle, because it's mentioned twice in our scriptures today, let us use them. And Peter says down in 1 Peter 4, use it. That's my sermon. We'll close in prayer. You'd be glad for that, wouldn't you? I better unpack it a little bit for you. We have all been given unique gifts. The uniqueness is not only in the gift itself, that is special, but it's also in the way God has worked it into each of our lives. Last week, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the gifts are mentioned. And in the first verses, in verses 4 through 6, it says this, that we all have been given gifts, but that the gifts have a variety of uses or services or applications, and they have a variety of effects. And by that, I mean two people may have the same gift of teaching. But one gift works well with adults, and another works well with teenagers, but they don't go back and forth. They don't connect in quite the same way. One person who teaches, when you come away, the effect is you believe, wow, I have been given an incredible gift of wisdom, of understanding that passage of Scripture. And another person who teaches you, you come away saying, I have got to do something about that. It is a gift of the effect of motivation. It motivates you. The Spirit has worked differently in its effect upon you. And when you put all of those things together with our own temperaments and who we are, every gift is unique for each person. God has tailored the gifts to us. We have gifts that differ. Then Paul lists seven gifts in this passage. There are four places in the scripture where gifts are listed. You just have to remember two numbers, 12 and 4. So the bigger books and the shorter books. 12 is 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and then 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4, which we read in our confession of faith this morning. But the gifts lists are never the same. There is some overlap, but there is uniqueness to each one of the gifts. Sometimes, as Peter kind of clumps them into two styles of gifts, types of gifts. And I think the reason for that is that there is not, the purpose is not to give us a complete list of every possible gift. Because, as it said, there are different ways they are shaped for us. So there's uniquenesses for all of us. But what is there is that we are told that what's important is that they are to be used. They are to be used. Even says, as he adds, with generosity, with zeal, with cheerfulness. And that's why as verses 9 through 13 follow, he speaks of using them with love, serving fervently. And he's really, in a sense, saying, this is the way it ought to look. That the Christian life should look this way, that we should be excited about using what God has given in place in our life. We were placed here on this earth to make a difference. And our life should reflect that. So bracket verses 9 through 13, because that's what it should, in a sense, look like as we serve each other. When we come to Peter's words on the gifts in 1 Peter 4, he teaches us essentially the same thing Paul does, here now coming from another apostle. And he says in verse 10, each of us has received a gift. There's not a single believer in this room who does not have a spiritual gift or several gifts. Each one of you has a gift. It's been assigned to you, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. It has been assigned to you. It has been distributed to you by the Holy Spirit. It has been suited to who you are. But he also reminds us that the gift is filled with grace. Notice in the passage, it says that we are to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Some translations call it the manifold grace of God. Many folds, many ways that God's grace looks. It's different. This is not the same grace of saving grace, but it's all a part of it, and it's a special grace that's been given to each one of us, and it's been given to us in the shape of a gift, so that each one of you has an ability to be an example of the grace of God and to express and give out the grace of God that no one else can give. You are instruments of the grace of God. And if God's grace is going to be seen, it's going to be seen because his people express what God has placed within them. I think about a young woman. Her name is Carol Brown. Carol was born into a normal family. Father and brother, tall as I am. Sister, normal. And she was born as a dwarf. Very short. Carol grew up, her parents loved her and taught her that she was just as normal as anybody else. She had strong esteem and confidence in herself. She went through school, her dad had a special car made for her so she could drive a car by herself. She went off to college, wonderful Christian young woman. She believed God had given her the gift of teaching. And right out of college, she took her first job in Dalton, Georgia, as a first grade teacher. And in her first year, she was selected by the students as being the best teacher in the school. And when asked why, the student said, because here's a teacher we can look right in the eyes. And Carol said, it has confirmed for me that this is why God made me the way he made me. This is my calling. This is the gift that God has given to me. In other words, God is looking to pour out his grace through you in such a unique way that it has an impact that no one else can have. He goes on to say, Use your gift to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. You have talent on loan from God. I invented that phrase. Kind of like the internet, right? But but it is so true. You can't say it any better. You have talent on loan from God. You are to be a steward. It is not a gift that you keep for yourself. It is a gift that has been given to you that you are to give out of, and it will continue to give as long as you give it out. And when you use it, remember, Peter says, if it is a speaking type of gift, and he uses two types of gift, he says, remember that you are speaking as if you are giving to give the very oracles of God himself. I'm reminded of an incredible privilege I had a number of years ago. I was invited by Billy Graham to go to Amsterdam and speak to the Itinerant Evangelists Conference from all over the world, and they brought 6,000 itinerant evangelists in to Amsterdam to teach them and give them tools. These are people not in churches anywhere, but people who truly just go around sharing the gospel all over the world, from Africa and Asia and Australia and Europe and South America, everywhere from all over the world, and I had the privilege to go. And I was teaching in one particular section, and when I got there early to speak, and when I got to the podium, I looked out, and here was an audience of 600 to 900, I can't remember how many it was now, totally packed, everyone there, everyone sitting at a table with paper in front of them, with a pencil in their hand, waiting for the first word I said. And they wrote every single word I said as if it was the gospel truth itself. I said, oh God, let me speak your truth. When you speak, speak as if it's the oracles of God. You've been given a gift to speak out what God has done in your life. You're here to make a difference. He says, if you serve, serve understanding that the very strength of God is there for you to serve, because it is his gift and it's his impact and it's his effect that he wishes to bring. I'm reminded of a young man in our church who one time asked me for lunch, and he said, just wanted to get to know you better, and I appreciated that, and I said, tell me about your work, and he told me about his work and what he did, and I said, what's difficult about your work, and he told me about it, and afterward, just off the top of my head, said, well, let's pray about your job, and we just prayed about his job and prayed for God to use him and bless him and prosper him in every possible way. Years later, he wrote me a note, and he said, Pete, he said, you're the only pastor who has ever prayed for my work. It was an offhand comment prayer. I had no idea. You see, the Spirit of God used that in his life and impacted him in a way I had no knowledge of. And that is the way the Spirit of God works. When the gift works, it's for others. It's not for you. And when it happens in ways you don't even understand it. But God supplies the strength. And no matter how mundane or simple it seems in what you do it and you trust God, and powerful things happen. Peter gives us one more key thought. He says that you use this gift in order that it would bring forth glory to God. When we use our gifts, we use them to glorify God. What are we taught? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. If the whole, total, complete purpose for life, the reason for living, is to glorify God, and we can do so through the use of our gifts, we need to be conscious of doing that in every possible time and turn we have. God has made us to make a difference. The last passage in Ephesians 2:10, which follows that wonderful verse we're all familiar with, that we've been saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest any should boast. He's saying we aren't to boast in ourselves, but we're to recognize, he says, that we are God's workmanship. And the word workmanship is a special word. It's the word crafted, craftsmanship. It's the masterpiece, the master creating his own masterpiece. It's one of a kind. And that's why when you have an artist and you see one and you say, could I contract you to do another one similar to that? And they would say, well, it won't be the same because I never do the same painting. It'll be similar, but it won't be the same. Because each one is a masterpiece. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Another way to say that is unto Christ Jesus for good works. These are the things that bring the glory to God. And don't miss the following statement. He says, which God prepared beforehand or in advance. Now you may be asking yourself, how does he do that? Because in other words, he's saying God has a plan for your life which includes many good works. It's plural. It's ongoing. And they accomplish much glory for him. But how is it that they are prepared in advance, ahead of time? Do I just kind of bump into them as I go through life? Or does heaven just kind of drop them out of the sky on me when God thinks it's time for me to do something? No, I think the answer is already in the passage. The answer is in the passage, workmanship. You've been created in a particular way. I thought, how can I express this? And here's a phrase I did come up with to try to grab this, and that's this. What God desires, he wires. And what he wires, he inspires. You see, you have been made and fashioned. Something's been woven into you as a believer in Christ. David says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And what he wires into us, then he inspires us. But we're not robots. God doesn't say, you know, okay, I need somebody to do this good work over here. So he says, let's press button 10. Boom, you know, we come out and number 10 does their job and goes back. No, we have choices. We choose. Please notice what he says. God prepared them beforehand that we should walk in them, that we might walk in them, meaning we may not. We might not. We can have gifts, but we may miss the opportunities to use them. And we have those opportunities every day to bring God glory. These are the same good works that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13, when he says that God will reward us for them in heaven. And he's going to measure the quality of those works, whether or not we did them in faith and trust or not. But wow, think about that. God gives us the gifts, the talents. Then he gives us the opportunities to use them, and then he rewards us for doing them. Is that grace or what? That's incredible. He wants you to make a difference. He wants you to succeed. He set it all up so that you can. Now, how are we going to use this? You and I are crafted to make a difference for the glory of God. You have talent on loan. And you have an opportunity to use that talent, a stewardship, gifts to glorify him. Will there be a spiritual memorial day in heaven? Yes. Yes. The scripture tells me that every man, every woman, and every child will be rewarded for the good things they do for the glory of God. Every time you use that gift, every good work will not be forgotten. It will be forgotten. It will be counted as a sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Now, there's two things we need to do. First of all, we need to ask ourselves a question. Do I know my spiritual gift? Do I know what they are? We have our new members take a spiritual gifts inventory when they come into the church. But a lot of times people say, well, I'm not really sure. Well, my friends, there's no excuse. And there's no excuse because if you turn over to page 8 in your bulletin, there is a link that you can go on our website for a spiritual gifts questionnaire. You have just been hooked. And let me tell you something, it isn't short. You download it, everything you need will be in it. But my friend, if you want to glorify God, if you want to make a difference for God, this is at least one thing you should know. Bless you. You should know this. Go. Think about it. Ask questions. But you know what? You can know your gift and you can still miss the opportunity. Because there's one other thing that we all need. And that is we need to abide in Christ. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But when you are connected with me, the vine, the power can flow into your life and great things can happen for the kingdom of God. They may be things that you never see. They may be impacts and effects that you never grasp. Because the gift is for God to use. The gift is for His glory, not ours. There's one prayer in the scripture. When we pray daily and ask God, Christ, what do you want me to do today that will glorify you? There's a promise in scripture that says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, if we ask anything in accordance with His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the things that we've asked of Him. There is no prayer more in the will of God than for you to pray each day, Lord Jesus, would you use me to glorify you today? And my friends, get ready. Because you were created to make a difference. And when we as believers begin to pray that way and make a difference in this world, you know what? The world is going to look up and say, wow, what is going on? And it's all a gift for you, for His glory. Great and mighty God, we come before you to praise you. You have given us a taste of heaven, and we ask, Lord, that as we see you work by faith in our lives, we will never be the same. Use us as we use your gift. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.